Hello, hello. Thank you for being with us today. I'm excited for today's episode, but wanted to take a quick moment to talk about prenatal vitamins. As a doula, I encourage my clients to achieve optimal nutrition through food. However, even with the most thoughtfully planned diet, it is nearly impossible to meet the daily requirements through food alone. Ideally, you should start taking a prenatal before you find out you're pregnant, or as soon as you test positive. P.S. If this is you, congrats. Prenatal vitamins help nourish and support your body while helping you grow that cute little human inside. Nutrients like choline and folate in prenatal vitamins support healthy brain and spinal cord development in early stages of pregnancies. Prenatal vitamins are unfortunately not all made the same. My favorite prenatal brand is called Needed. I first discovered them through our Facebook community, actually. They are very supportive of our community and have secured 20% off to all of our mamas with code VBAC20. Go to thisisneeded.com and enter in code VBAC, VBAC20 at checkout for 20% off. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the VBAC Think. This is Megan, and I am solo today. We will not be sharing a VBAC or CBAC story, but we're going to focus on our topic of the week, and that is uterine abnormalities. So if you haven't listened to Flannery's episode last week, or I should say last week, earlier this week, go check it out. Flannery has a bicorneate uterus, and we kind of talked a little bit about the different types of uteruses and her journey and kind of what happened or what was most common with her bicorneate uterus. But today I wanted to talk a little bit more about the different types of uteruses. So it's kind of weird to think about, but we have multiple shapes of our uteruses. And I don't think it's not really talked about a lot. And so I thought it would be cool to jump on today and just dive in a little bit more about the uteruses. But we do have a review of the week, and so I wanted to jump on and share this review. It says, I now recommend this podcast to any mom who will listen, even first-time moms. I tell them that this is the podcast I wish I would have listened to before our first traumatic birth. It helped me process, learn, and heal so much after my son's birth. 2 years later, pouring into numerous books, online courses, and more, we are preparing for our October VBAC. Says, and their podcast has by far been the most favorite resource, hands down. Thanks, Julie and Megan, so much for what you do. Thank you guys for your review. That review was left on Google. So if you wouldn't mind, press pause in just one moment. And go leave us a review. Your reviews help other women of strength come and find this podcast, find the blogs, find the course, find the doulas. You guys, I love this community so stinking much and believe that every mom, just like the reviewer said, even first-time moms should really be listening to this podcast. These stories that you guys share are absolutely incredible. The information that we share, I think, is invaluable. So if you can, go to Google, type in the VBAC link, and leave us a review. Or leave us a review wherever you're listening to your podcast. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, everybody, like I said, we're going to be diving into uterine abnormalities. So, we talked a little bit about Flannery. She had a bicorneate uterus. So, what is a bicorneate uterus? A bicorneate uterus is a heart-shaped uterus, meaning the uterus has two horns, making it look like the shape of a heart. So, with bicorneate uteruses, there are some things to know. There can be a higher chance of a breech baby. And I'm gonna share my source here with you. It's pregnancybirthbaby.org. We're gonna have this in the show notes. I think that it is just so great. It's such a great visual and understanding on the different types. But so yeah, so they've got kind of two horns. It doesn't really reduce your chances of having a baby or getting pregnant. It can increase things like early miscarriage or an early, like a preterm baby, or like I said, it can impact the position of the baby. But you know, it's possible. VBAC is possible with that. And the hardest thing about uterine abnormalities is there's not a ton of evidence or deep studies to dive into how it's impacting people who want to go on and have a vaginal birth or go for a, in the medical world, TOLAC, trial of labor after cesarean. So if you have a uterine abnormality, I think it's something to discuss with your provider, and also know that you don't have to go with that first answer. Like, you can get multiple opinions. Okay, another uterine abnormality or shape is, and oh my gosh, you guys, don't quote me on this. I will probably butcher all the ways of saying these, so I'm gonna try my best. But it's I think it's didelphic uterus, which is a double uterus. It means that your uterus is kind of split in two, and each side of your uterus has its own area. And it also can increase your chance of having a premature birth. So if that is something that you have, I think it's something to discuss with your provider, knowing that you could have a premature birth. Now, we also know that VBAC and premature, we have people who have premature VBACs all the time, but it is something to discuss. So then there's arcuate. I don't know. And that is a uterus that actually looks really similar to a normal sized uterus, but kind of has a dip, like a deeper dip in the top of the uterus in the womb. So it doesn't affect your fertility. It can increase just a little bit like of later miscarriage. So that is something to discuss. Sometimes providers will want to kind of induce if everything's looking well at an earlier gestational age. And then also this one can impact the position of your baby. So kind of being aware of that. And then there's septate. Again, I don't know. Sorry for butchering this, you guys. If you're a medical professional, sorry. It says a septic womb has the wall of a muscle that comes down the center of the uterus, and then it kind of splits into those two areas and is divided by like a membrane or a tight band of tissue, kind of like it reminds of like a rubber band, kind of it just like splits it down. It can also impact fertility and again increase the risk of possible miscarriage in the early stages or causing a premature baby. So once again, discuss with your provider if you have this, what that means, and what that means for feedback or birth in general. Taking a quick break to continue our earlier conversation about the importance of the right prenatals for pregnancy and beyond. As I mentioned, my favorite brand is Needed. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally intensive times for a woman's life. You don't have to feel so terribly nauseated
or so depleted in the postpartum stage. A prenatal multi that optimally nourishes you can make all the difference between just getting by during and after pregnancy and feeling your very best. Let's not just survive, we definitely need and deserve to thrive. Needed is clinically backed, third-party tested, and formulated the best, in my opinion, prenatal vitamins. They took so much time to learn about women and why we are getting the bare minimum nutrients, and then designed the supplements that addresses women's needs at every stage of pregnancy and beyond. Needed's prenatals are filled with the optimal amount for both you and your baby and include important ingredients such as choline, folate, vitamin D, and more. Enjoy 20% off at thisisneeded.com with code VBAC20. That is thisisneeded.com and use code VBAC20. Back to today's episode.
Hey everyone, this is Megan. Preparing for my VBA2C was pretty lonely at times. This is why I, along with Julie, created a Facebook community for all the parents preparing for their VBACs. You can find the link to the community in the episode notes today, or head over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link Community. This is our safe space to share our stories, tips, and advice on how to achieve a VBAC and ask each other questions. Just remember, studies show 60 to 80% of people who attempt a VBAC will be successful. We're here for each other on this journey. To join, go over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link Community and start feeling the love and support today. And then, let's see, there's also retroverted, and that's a uterus that kind of tips further back instead of in that forward stage. So again, so many different types of and shapes of uteruses, and sometimes we don't know what we have until we have a baby that's born. And sometimes it's once we have a cesarean where they're like, oh, hey, you have this type of shaped uterus. So if you really feel like you need to know or are having any issues or anything like that, maybe dive in with your provider and see if they can tell you what shape of uterus you have. Now, again, like I said, little is known about the outcome of VBAC with uterine abnormalities, but there is an article, and it was back in 2019. It's called A Case of Vaginal Birth After Cesarean in a Patient Who Has Uterine, and again, I'm butchering it, but didelphys. So I want to kind of talk a little bit more about that. And as a reminder, that is the one that's kind of split into, and if I recall, I think you actually, they even have their own cervixes, if I recall. So that can kind of be interesting. But this is going to be a little bit more on this. And they talk about, it says, there's only a few studies, and the studies are low, like 165 women in the one study. And it shows that those women with abnormalities found that those women were statistically less likely to have VBAC. And again, we know that a lot of the times these people have babies that are in less ideal positions, or they're going into early preterm labor, and there are things to be said about that. But the other small study was literally like teeny tiny, had 25 women with uterine abnormalities reported, and a VBAC rate was similar to one in women with a normal, quote unquote, normal uterus. So there are things to say there. Now, the other study showed that they were less likely to experience uterine rupture than women with normal uteruses. But then this one said that the uterine rupture rate was higher. So such little information. I mean, really little information that I have been able to find so far. I'm going to dive even deeper and update you. But yeah, it says the actual rates of VBAC and uterine rupture in women with uterine abnormalities are likely to be similar or less favorable than those women in normal uteruses. So keep that in mind. It goes on and says some authors hypothesize that uterine abnormalities, especially unicordiate uteruses, are associated with decreased uterine muscle mass. So when we have Decreased uterine muscle mass, that means it may not contract as effective or strong as it needs to. And so that can lead to other things like arrested descent or labor not really getting into that active phase of labor, needing things like Pitocin and things to augment the labor, or having a harder time pushing out the baby because the uterus isn't helping us as well. And so we may have a higher chance of, like an assisted delivery, like a vacuum or forceps. So with all of this said, you guys, I want to leave it here with you to encourage you to speak with your provider, get multiple opinions. If you have been told that you can't VBAC because of a certain situation, dive a little deeper with questions in your with your provider, because again, the hardcore evidence is not really there. It's just low. I mean, it's there, but it's low. There's another article that says that uterine abnormalities are common in the general population with an estimated like range of 1 to 15 per 1,000 women. So we know that there are people out there that have uterine abnormalities. I don't feel like it's talked about a ton, and that's why I wanted to come on today and talk a little bit about the different types. And then, of course, share Flannery's episode with a bicornate uterus showing that she still did go on to have a VBAC. And it is possible. So, if you have your uterine abnormality, please know that it doesn't mean you're just completely off the table. Like, it still could be an option. Discuss it with your provider. Check out the links. I will include them in the show notes today, more on those uterine abnormalities and what it means and what these studies are showing. There was another one that said a septate uterus is clinically significant because it has been shown to be associated with adverse pregnancy outcomes, including, like I said, that preterm labor and malpresentation. So it's a thing that can cause malpresentation and preterm labor and even miscarriage, but does that mean that you can't have a vaginal birth? And another thing to ask your providers is if you have any of these things are, okay, if my baby is in a less than ideal position, say breech or transverse, does my uterine abnormality or my specific case rule me out of having something like an ECV? I mean, varying rates of ECV success have been reported, and we're also not doing them enough. We're not seeing them being done enough, even though they have a lot of success. But the question is, if you have a uterus that is a little different, do you qualify? So ask the questions, be informed, and if you have any questions, let us know. And hey, if you have a uterine abnormality and you are listening and you had a VBAC, I would love to hear from you because we have people that are searching for stories with uterine abnormalities, and I know that our community would love to hear your story. So you can message us at info@thevbacklink.com, or if you're a provider that maybe knows a lot more and specializes in uterine abnormalities, I would love to chat with you and maybe discuss an episode on the podcast in the future. Thank you guys.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hi, birth workers. This one's for you. In an ideal world, VBAC parents would be treated just like any other birthing parents. In today's world, most medical providers sadly don't fully support VBAC parents. However, 90% of parents with a prior cesarean are good candidates to attempt a VBAC. This is why we have created the Advanced VBAC Doula Certification Program. In this doula course, we share evidence-based data, for you to educate your clients, teach you the tools on helping them how to process past fears and trauma, or helping them decide if VBAC is even right for them. You will feel better prepared to support them during this beautiful experience. All VBAC certified doulas are listed on our website so parents know who you are. To learn more, go to thevbaclink.com.